Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast presented by our new sponsor, the Free Store Food Bank. We are super excited to have them on board to sponsor this podcast. And we've had a few weeks off here while the summer has basically concluded at this point. The Bengals, a week from today, will report from training camp. And as always, on Monday, just 2 days before, the Bengals will have their annual media luncheon where we'll get to hear from Mike Brown, Duke Tobin, Zach Taylor, and both the coordinators. So there's quickly going to be a lot more Bengals news on the horizon. And we're very excited about it to be able to talk about this on the podcast. And so today I was thinking about how I would want a preview for training camp podcast to go. And what really stuck in my head was, who are the most important Bengals players this season? And not from a standpoint of, are they the best players on the team? I'm more so wanted to think about it in the lens of, who are the players that either need to step up the most or need to be at a certain level for this team to reach what they ultimately want to do, and that is win a Super Bowl. So keep that in mind when I go through this list, because I know there'll be a lot of questions as to why I didn't put a couple of players on. It has nothing to do with what I think about their value. It's simply that I think this list of 10 players that I created are the players that, if these select players don't step up, improve, or play at their very best, the Bengals won't be able to be where they want to be. So without further ado, here is my list of the top 10 most important Bengals heading into this 2023 season. So we're going to go from 1 to 10 in order of 1 being the most important and 10 being the least important. And like I said, there's going to be some names on here that you'll wonder why they're on over some other players, but we'll break it all down. And as always, please just send in your feedback. I love hearing what you guys think about the list. If you agree with me or if you disagree with me, this is the fun stuff that I love to talk about with you guys. So let's kick it off. Number one for me won't come as a shock to anyone, and that is, it's Joe Burrow. There's not a whole lot that needs to be said about him and his importance to the team, but just think about it like this. If he were to get hurt and they lost him for the season, what would happen to the Bengals season? And he makes everything go on this team in the locker room, so it was a pretty easy choice for me, number one being Joe Burrow. Second, I took some time to think about who I thought should have the number two spot on this list. And for me, it is Chido Awuzie. And you could argue some offensive linemen and defensive ends might be more important. But for me, Chido is very important because there's so many questions about his return after his torn ACL. He believes he'll be ready to go by week one, but is he going to be the same Chido he was before he got injured in that game against the Browns on Halloween? Is he still going to be able to cover their opponent's number one wide receivers? And he's going to be seeing some of the best of the best. And as before he got injured, he was the Bengals' best cover corner, and he was playing at a really high level. And with Cam Taylor-Britt only entering his second year, he showed flashes of a lot of promise. But do the Bengals have that number one cover corner in Chido? That's something we'll find out. And as I just mentioned, the quarterbacks that the Bengals are going to go up against this year, specifically in the AFC, they will get the ball to their number one guys, and the Bengals need to have a lockdown corner. And I think Chido hopefully is that for them, but keep an eye on him as training camp progresses and in the early parts of the season, because what he looks like post his injury is going to be very important to the Bengals. Number three is Orlando Brown, and arguably one of the biggest signings the team has ever made in free agency, when he kind of caught the world by storm late night during the first couple of days of free agency, announcing that he was going to be joining to the Bengals. And that, of course, started the drama with Jonah Williams and what that meant for Jonah in that Orlando was coming to play left tackle and Jonah would then have to move to right tackle. Jonah then said, I don't want to participate in the off-season workouts. And fortunately, he returned for the mandatory minicamp portion for the Bengals. And he said he's going to be the best right tackle he can be. And with Orlando Brown locking down that left side, protecting Joe Burrow's blind side is such an important job. And the Bengals really haven't had that left tackle that they view as the cornerstone of the team since Andrew Whitworth. And a lot of people think Orlando Brown could be on his level and do the amount of really good pass rushers in the division and in the league. If Brown can hold down the fort on the left side, it could go a long way. You've seen Joe Burrow take this team to really far places without a premier offensive line. And now with Orlando Brown, Cordell Volson, Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and Jonah Williams, or if Lael Collins comes back and beats him out, they feel like this is the deepest offensive line and most talented offensive line they've had since Zach Taylor got to Cincinnati. And Orlando Brown is a huge part of that. Number four, DJ Reader. You guys all saw what happened to the Bengals last year when he missed a couple of games. The New Orleans game really sticks out to me in terms of he's such a valuable part of the defense when it comes to stopping the run and being able to free up some of the other rushers around him. He's underappreciated, in my opinion, across the league, but inside the Bengals building, they know how important DJ Reader is, and the Bengals really value him as they made him the highest paid free agent signing they've ever made someone when they signed him a few years back. And he's very important because a big reason why Cincinnati's defense took the steps it did last year was they were much better against the run. And when you have to go up against Cleveland twice a season, you have to go up against Pittsburgh twice a season and some of the other run heavy teams in the AFC, having your run stuffer DJ Reader up front is so important. And there's also not another replica of DJ on the team right now. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't add another three tech nose tackle, but I think DJ Reader's importance to this team is very underrated in a sense, and that's why I have him as the number four player on this list. Number five, Alex Kappa. Everyone saw what happened to the Bengals offensive line when he got hurt late in the season last year in the wild card performance when he injured his ankle. There was a big question of what if he thought he would be able to play had the Bengals made it to the Super Bowl, but of unfortunately, their season was cut short in Kansas City, but Alex Kappa was playing as well as any guard was at the time he got injured, and he made a world of a difference playing next to Ted Karras and helping protect Joe Burrow. So Alex Kappa, to me, comes in at number five because he's critical to the offensive line success. Number six, Dax Hill. When I put out on Twitter that I was going to be doing this list, most people that responded had Dax Hill as their number one player of importance for the Bengals, which I thought was pretty interesting. I totally understand he's a former first round pick who's really going to be getting his first chance to start at the position. He did play a significant amount last year, but the Bengals had to move him around a lot purely based off of injuries at other positions, and he has that position flexibility that they like. But this year is the year for Dax Hill to show if he's capable of being a free safety in the NFL as the starting caliber free safety. And the safety room is going to look a lot different. The team had to move on from Jesse Bates and Von Bell. So they now have Dax Hill and Nick Scott. Both of, you can say, are Nick Scott is starting for the first time for the Bengals. Dax Hill played last year, but he'll be starting for the first time this year in his role as a safety. So I think how he performs is going to be significantly important to the Bengals' defensive success, because right now, last year, Lou Anarumo wasn't worried about what his safety room was going to look like. In fact, he viewed it as one of their best position groups because of how good Jesse Bates and Von Bell were. But I would imagine right now he doesn't have that same feeling simply just because of the unknown. Dax Hill has showed a lot of flashes of what he can be, and Nick Scott has proven, being a starter for the Rams last season, that he can play at a high level. But how those two mesh together with the rest of the defense will certainly be something that might take a little bit of time. But Dax Hill is definitely an important piece because you want to know what he can give you. Number 7, Trey Hendrickson, the Bengals' top tier defensive end. You've heard it before. If you don't have premier pass rushers in the NFL, you can't win many games. And Trey Hendrickson is the 1A pass rusher for the Bengals. Last year, he had a little bit of a dip in production. He only had 8 sacks, down from 14 the year before. But he's so valuable to what they do on defense. And even though sometimes he doesn't get the sacks, he's so disruptive. And he is still playing at an incredibly high level, takes a lot of pride in making sure he's ready to go each week with his body. So I think he is incredibly important, and the Bengals are a much better team when he's on the field versus when he's sidelined. Number 8, Ted Karras, the Bengals center. You've seen before what the Bengals offense looks like without a quality center, and Ted Karras's impact was noticed right away. He was voted a captain in his first season, and even more than that, what he did on the field in terms of his chemistry and getting the rest of the offensive line ready to go each week. He calls himself a demeanor hound. He takes his job very seriously in making sure the offensive line doesn't have any issues going on during the game. He has developed a really great rapport with Joe Burrow. So Ted Karras is very, very important. And if you look at behind Ted Karras, your options at center aren't great for the most part. So Ted Karras's health is incredibly important because he needs to stay healthy and start as many games as he can for the Bengals offensive line to be what they think it can be, because he's really the glue guy. Number 9, Joseph Osai. This is the year for Joseph Osai. He's entering year 3 on a 4-year rookie contract. And the Bengals, when they drafted him in the 3rd round, felt like they were getting a steal in Joseph Osai for him still being available. But the injury bug has hit him hard, and he's been playing behind 2 really quality edge rushers in Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. So he hasn't gotten on the field as much as he would if he played for other teams. But when he has been on the field, what have we seen from him? Have you been able to see enough to form your opinion? Most of the time, it always comes back to, well, if he can stay healthy, then it's a different question. So for Osai, can he stay healthy and be the number 3 edge rusher for this team? Because this is the season for him to prove if the Bengals are going to want him to stick around long term. He'd like to have that decision, and the Bengals would love to have that decision without any question, because he has such a good season coming up. So Joseph Osai, very big year for him. And if the Bengals can add another quality edge rusher, they weren't the NFL's best in getting after the quarterbacks, and it's something that I feel like they need to do a better job of. If Osai can give them a boost, that would go a long way. And rounding out my list, linebacker Logan Wilson coming in at number 10. He's such a valuable piece in Lou Anarumo's defense. He wears the green dot to make sure that he's the one in communication with Anarumo, getting the calls in, getting the defense all set up the right way. And without Jesse Bates and Von Bell, who really helped Logan in terms of communicating with the rest of the team, it's now on Logan's shoulders to really be that guy in the middle of the field to carry the Bengals defense. And he is hopeful to have a contract extension done by the start of the season. But if he doesn't, that makes this season even more valuable to him, because he'll be trying to play as well as he can to show the rest of the NFL he's worthy of a bigger second contract. So we'll see what happens there. I know the Bengals want to get a deal done with him, but they've got a lot going on and no deal is done yet. But Logan, very important to the defense, and has become one of the Bengals' best homegrown draft picks in the last couple of years. So now I've given you my 10 players You might ask, how do you have a list of the 10 most important Bengals without Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd? Well, to me, here's how I viewed it as. Say, for example, what you saw last year and the year before, Ja'Marr Chase is injured. The Bengals are good enough at receiver with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, who are both still on the team, that they can win games without Ja'Marr Chase because they're so talented. Vice versa, same thing for T. Higgins. If it's just Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd with T. Higgins on the sideline, they're still good enough to win games. That's the beauty of having three number one caliber wide receivers on your team. So that's why I didn't include them. If I did a list of the 10 best players, of course, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd would be on it. But this is the most important players for what the Bengals want to do. And you should feel confident that in a 17-game season, if any of those receivers get injured, they have enough backups that they'll be completely fine. And you saw that the Bengals went 4-1 when Ja'Marr Chase was out. And when the news broke that Ja'Marr Chase was going to miss some time, there was immediate panic. Like, are the Bengals going to be able to hold up while Ja'Marr Chase is gone? T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd showed you they got this. It's fine. So keep that in mind. And it might be easier to look at this list and when you're trying to make the list yourself of what would happen to the Bengals if this player got hurt and couldn't play the rest of the season. That's kind of how I made that list. And also with players like Dax Hill and Joseph Osai, it's about proving themselves and why this year is important for them. So that's how I came up with this list. I would love to hear your feedback on your list, what you think of mine, and go from there. But this is just a fun little list, an activity for me to do as I brush up on things before training camp and get ready for the daily coverage that we are going to have. But this is fun. Just before I sat down to record this podcast, I changed the list. And I feel like if I looked at it for another day, I'd change it tomorrow. And that's the fun of creating lists like this and debating topics like this one, which I hope to hear feedback from all of you on. So that's it for me today. Just a preview of what's going on here with the Bengals now. Vacation's over, summer break is over, and now it's time to get back to the grind of the Bengals season. And I'm really looking forward to bringing you all along with me. Thanks for tuning in.